Anyway, my sobriety date is 12/12/1996. My home group is Howe Hall, 6 a.m. Early Birds, also Sons of Thunder on Friday night, Men's Stag. And I am eternally grateful to this fellowship. This is a really cool place. I like, obviously, there's a lot of history here. Somebody told me earlier that this meeting's been going on for 60 years. That's pretty cool. That's a long time, considering Alcoholics Anonymous started in June of 1935. You know, as a result of the 12 steps, I've spent a lot of time lately learning about the roots of our program and the history, and a lot about Bill Wilson and Bob Smith. And I find out that, you know what, everybody in here, by the way, I want to welcome all the newcomers. I want to encourage you to stay in the program and the fellowship. No matter what you think, stick around, do the 12 steps, and your life will change. That's what my sponsor told me, and I can tell you that it's absolutely true. This program is a lifesaver, a life changer, and a life giver. It has never let me down. The beautiful thing about this program is you don't have to know anything about anything. All you have to do is be willing. You know, my sponsor told me that if I was willing and open-minded and honest, that I had a chance to stay sober. And it says that in the big book. It says those three things are indispensable. Rigorous honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. When I got here in 1987 after my first DUI, I wasn't any of the above. I didn't think like you guys, at least I didn't think I did. I didn't really relate to you because I wasn't listening and I wasn't willing and I wasn't open-minded and I was a born liar. So my whole life, I was self-centered, self-seeking, and selfish to the bone. Everything that I did surrounded around me. Anybody relate to any of that? Really? Only three of you. The rest are liars, huh? I never knew that. You know, I was 44 years old when I got my third DUI and when I started this journey in 1996. And basically, it came down to the following. I couldn't look in the mirror and lie to myself anymore. The gig was up for Roger. I knew that I was an alcoholic. And it says in the big book, Alcoholics, that when we admit to our innermost self that we're an alcoholic, that is the first step in recovery. It's not the first step in the 12 steps, but it's the first step in recovery. And I realized that I was an alcoholic, even though I didn't really understand what that meant. I didn't know anything about the allergy of the mind. But when I started reading the big book, I found out that I had a soul sickness, that I had a spiritual illness, the book calls a spiritual malady. And it says that unless I straighten out spiritually, I don't get better mentally, physically, or emotionally. So it's not about not drinking. Not about not drugging. It's about finding out that you're powerless over controlling results and things of the future and so on. What I found out was that I was restless, irritable, and discontented, like it says in the doctor's opinion, in virtually everything I did. So I drank and drugged to get relief from myself. Drinking and drugging were my solution, not my problem. I've met a lot of people in the program, Alcoholics Anonymous, that don't drink. They have nothing I want. Why do I say that? Because they don't have any relationship with God, which is what happened to me when I got here. You know, I was raised a Catholic. I went to 12 years of Catholic school. Nothing wrong with Catholic school, but there was something wrong with me. I had a lot of information when I went to school, and I didn't have problems with all of it, any of it. I had beliefs. I believed in God. I didn't have any problem with that. However, I had no relationship, and I didn't really respect God. I didn't allow Him to direct my life or my thinking. What I did was do what I wanted to do, with a lot of information in my head saying, yeah, I know who God is. So what? It wasn't until I realized that I'm a people-pleasing liar, cheat, and a thief. A people-pleasing liar, cheat, and a thief. So I want everything that you have that I want, and I want you to like me while I'm taking it. And then when you don't like that, I wonder why. I never knew I was as selfish as I realized after I started this journey on the 12 steps. I didn't understand all the little sayings, you know. I don't think about much, but all I think about is me. You know, I totally get it today. When I wake up in the morning, the first thought in my mind is me. And it requires me surrendering my thoughts to God and asking Him for help to do what He wants me to do that day. That's why He gave us the 12 steps. So I admitted I was an alcoholic. And I asked the guy to be my sponsor. And he had three questions for me. He said, Roger? I said, yeah. He said, are you an alcoholic? I said, yeah. He said, are you willing to go to any lengths to stay sober? I said, yeah. And he looked at me and said, are you teachable? I finally said, yeah. But see, that question of are you teachable requires an honest answer, and then it requires some commitment. I didn't like commitment because that means I had to be responsible and accountable for doing something. That was not my nature. My nature is I'm lazy. My nature is I'll tell you I'll do something, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do what I'm told to do, and I don't want to do what I'm not supposed to do. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. So the first step says we admitted to ourselves that we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. Interesting about the first step is that both the verbs are past tense. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol and our lives had become unmanageable. Anybody ever think about why that is? The simple fact of the matter is that I'm not powerless over alcohol unless I drink it. You can put all my favorite boozes right in front of me right now. They have no power over me whatsoever. Unless I drink them and I start that process, they have no power. And if I've surrendered my will to God, then I'm not managing my life and my life is not unmanageable. So I have to not take any mind-altering substances for any reason. Therefore, I'm not powerless. The book says that our dilemma is lack of power. And it says that that power is God. That's what the big book says. So the sooner we accept that and move on down the road, the better we'll be. Plain and simple. This is a simple program for really complicated people. I can complicate every single simple sentence in the book. Every single sentence. But, what? I got whys and whats and hows. Why don't I just do acceptance and move on down the road? Because it's not my nature. I want a yeah, but. I want a yeah, but everything. Yeah, but. I have an explanation every time I got caught for doing something wrong. And if they say, I don't want any more excuses, I say, well, that's not an excuse, that's an explanation. Oh, really? Well, that's a different word for the same thing. And so I was never accountable, never responsible. So we admitted we were powerless and our lives had become unmanageable. Both past tense. I don't drink, I'm not powerless. I surrender my will, I'm not powerless. I don't manage all my affairs, I have a sponsor, I have 12 principles, I have God, I'm not managing my affairs. Pretty simple. Would you agree? But not easy, huh? Simple, but not easy. So what does step two say? By the way, if you notice, I don't spend a lot of time on drunkologues. I did virtually all the things that you guys enjoyed doing. Maybe more, maybe not. If I didn't do some of the things that you did, I thought about them. So I can tell you all the stuff about what I did, the DUIs I got, the accidents I had, the women I woke up with, all that stuff. So what? That's who I used to be. When I started the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I became a different person. If I'm the same person that was sent here in 1996, I am doomed to drink and drug again. Period. This requires a complete life change. I mean, did you have any idea what they said, what they meant when they said, you don't have to change much, you just have to change everything? Did you understand that when they told you that? Because if you did, you're way ahead of me. But here's the deal. The deal is you do the 12 steps and the answers will come. So we admitted we were powerless. Our lives had become unmanageable. So the second step says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Sanity is not the absence of chaos. Sanity is not the presence of knowledge. Sanity is accepting the truth and trying to do the best you can with the principles and not ask why all the time. Or yeah, but. The definition of insanity is rejecting the truth. That's the same thing what we always hear in these meetings, right? If you do the same thing you've always done, you always get what you always get, right? The same thing. Well, the fact is that I don't know what's best for me all the time. I'm lazy, I'm unprincipled, and I'm selfish. I want what I want when I get it, and this is a disease that says you didn't get enough, you need more. And it's a disease that says that you don't have one. So you can stay in denial and never hear the truth or see the truth. So I came to believe that a power greater than myself, and the book says that power is God, can restore me to sanity. And step three says, made a decision. I don't know about you, but I made thousands and thousands of decisions, but rarely, if ever, followed those decisions with rigorous action. Anybody relate to that? Whenever the heat was on, I got caught, I was in trouble, I'd make a decision. You probably heard the joke about the three frogs on a log. One made a decision to jump. How many frogs were left? Anybody know? You guys have all heard that before. Exactly, because the one that made the decision didn't jump. That's my story of my life for a long, long time. I made lots of decisions. I took no action. Action and change. This is what my sponsor used to say to me all the time. Roger, this is a program of action and change. You guys ever heard Mickey B speak?
Yeah.
I like his acronyms. I was a Mickey B groupie for years. Because his acronyms and his work on steps 1, 2, and 3 crystallize in my mind what they meant. So I like the acronyms that Mickey uses. And two of them is action and change. And action is ACTION, any change to improve our nature. And change is choosing honesty allows new growth every day. CHANGE. Choosing honesty allows new growth every day. Action and change is what my sponsor drove into my head early on in my sobriety. Was I willing to take action and was I willing to accept change? Willing. Was I honest to know that I'm the problem and wherever I go, the problem goes with me? This program is an amazing fellowship. There is no other fellowship in the world like Alcoholics Anonymous. These 12 steps always work when we do them. They never fail. That's what Dr. Bob said. They never fail. Bill Wilson, after writing the 164 pages, said there was one word that he wished he changed. Rarely. He wished he changed rarely to never. The program always works when we apply it and when we do them. And we ask God to provide the power. They always work. So I made a decision to turn my will. What's my will? My thinking. Where's my problems lie when I'm not drinking? In my thinking. My mind is messed up. It was messed up before I ever took my first drink, which, by the way, was at 15. I remember it. If I were there in Whittier, California right now in the schoolyard with a fifth of VO and two of my friends, I remember exactly what it was like. I remember what I felt like. I remember it all. And it all felt real good then. The problem is what I did as a result of what I drank. The things I did under the influence of drug and alcohol, I would not do sober. Anybody relate to that? Really? Good. So it's like I could justify virtually doing anything under the influence. I couldn't do it when I was sober. So we turn our will and the care of our life over to God as we understood Him. And by the way, the very fact that God is God doesn't mean that we're going to ever understand Him. What it really means is that you need at some point to just accept that there is a God and that it's not you. It says in the book we have to stop playing God or else it will kill us. I didn't know I played God my whole life, but I did. And sometimes I still do today. When I think I know what's best and I think that I can control me or you and get the results that I think I want and I can manipulate to get those results, I'm playing God. My job is to surrender to God and then do the appropriate thing at the right time for the right reason. I never did the right thing at the right time for the right reason. Never in my life, that I can recall anyway. I may have done one or two of those, or one of them, but I never did all three for the right reason. Because I didn't have principles and I was selfish. So everything that I did was self-centered. So I turned my will, which is my thinking, over to God. And I turn the care of my life, which are my actions, over to God. And I ask Him to provide me the power, utilizing the principles of the program, so that I do the right thing. And then we go to step four. Why do people get so freaked out about step four? I don't know why that is. I'll tell you one of the reasons it is. Because failing to do a thorough step four will keep you in your illness for as long as you stay there. This is a spiritual battle. We got the devil on one side and God on the other. And the devil wants you drunk or dead. He'll settle for drunk, but he really wants you dead. And God wants you to recover from a hopeless state of mind, body, and spirit. So when we don't do a thorough house cleaning, then we don't recover. We got to clean out the crap, allow God to put some good stuff in. That's what the purpose of the 12 steps are. So we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. It's not that big a deal. Guess how long it took me to do my fourth step? Anybody want to hazard a guess? 18 months. I told you I'm lazy, self-centered, lazy, don't want to do what I'm told to do. So one day, come out of a meeting, my sponsor says to me, "Roger, what are you doing today?" I said, well, I'm off work. I don't have any. He said, "Go to the library." This is in Huntington Beach. He said, "Go to the library." I said, "What?" He said, "Go to the library. Call me when you get there." I went, "Okay." I went to the library. I called him when I got there. He said, "Get on your knees. We're going to do a third step." I went, "What?" He said, "Get on your knees. We're going to do a third step." I got on my knees. I did a third step. He said, "Now go in the library and finish your fourth step." I went, "Okay. And then call me when you're done." Now, I used to cover Hawaii. I've been in sales for a long time, 38 years. And I used to cover Hawaii. So I had an occasion on one of the flights to Hawaii in sobriety to write down some of my list of resentments. And by the way, when you were working on your list of resentments, did you happen to say to your sponsor, "I don't have any"? Anybody say that? He said, "Well, write down your resentments." I said, "I don't have any resentments." He said, "Really?" And then he suggested I think about places, institutions, girlfriends, wives, police, teachers, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, you know. And I went, "Oh." I started thinking about all those things. And I didn't have any, right? Well, on those two plane rides over and back to Hawaii, I ended up with 57. 57. And then I went into the Huntington Beach Library, like my sponsor said, and I finished the other three columns. And I don't remember exactly how long, but I think it was 3 hours. So it took me 18 months to do 3 hours of self-searching and a fearless moral inventory. So I called him when I was done. He said, "Come to my office." Oh, okay. And I went to his office. We got on our knees and we did another third step prayer. And then I did my fifth step with him. And it was over. And it was no big deal. In fact, when I started telling him all these deep, dark secrets that I thought were so horrendous, he laughed. Not at me. He laughed with me and told me some of his stuff. I went, wow, really? We were laughing. Then we were crying. We were doing both, laughing and crying. What the heck took me 18 months? Self-will. Lack of surrender. The very thing that was best for me to do, I wasn't willing to do. Why? Because I don't know what's best for me. Because I'm lazy. I got all the seven deadly sins, plenty of them. Anybody relate to that? That's why we drink. That's why we drink. Because we're not comfortable in our own skin, is what you always hear. But the fact of the matter is, God creates a certain way. And when we don't run based on that program, we're restless, irritable, and discontented. And we drink and medicate ourselves. That's what we do. And then we get an addiction because it takes over our body physically and we can't stop. And we think the insidiousness of it is we think we're having fun. I don't know about you, but I wasn't having fun when my wife and my two little girls picked me up from the jail after my third DUI. That wasn't fun. And the stuff that I did wasn't fun. And I'm thankful to God I didn't kill anybody because I wrecked a lot of cars. I had blackouts. I did all those kinds of things. And it was all secrets that I hid. And all he did was cause me to be separated from God. He wasn't even mad at me. Do you know that? God's not mad at any of us. He gave us a fellowship where we accept you just the way you are. And we love you, and we get love from God despite ourselves. I didn't know that when I went to Alcoholics Anonymous. I thought this was a, you know, death camp. When the judges sent me here, I didn't know I was going to meet people that I'm just like and that I'd love to be around. I'd rather be around alcoholics than anybody else in the world. How about you guys? I'd rather hang with you guys than anybody else. I have more fun with alcoholics because guess what? I is one. And I understand you now. I understand what it means to be lonely. I understand what it means to be irritable and in a dark place, thinking that nobody likes you and God's mad at you. That's a lie. It ain't the truth. So we do step four. We do step five. You know what step five says? It says we admit it to God and another alcoholic and ourselves, the exact nature of our wrongs. Our problem is not all the wrongs that we did. Our problem is our nature. So we have to identify the nature. Our nature is that we're self-centered, we're self-seeking, and we're selfish to the core. You know, this thing that when we're born, we're all, you know, really cool and pristine. Did anybody have to teach you guys how to lie, cheat, and steal before you ever picked up a drink or a drug? Nobody had to teach me how to lie, cheat, and steal. It came naturally. How about you guys? The stuff that I did came naturally. I had to learn how not to do that stuff. And that's what the principles do for us. They teach us how to live life on life's terms. Life isn't fair or unfair. It just is. When something shows up, it's just life. And then you're supposed to do, what do you do now? Well, you do the next indicated step, whatever that is. And through prayer and meditation, God will provide the result. And the result, by the way, the result is the result, whether you like it or not. I don't get to choose the result. I just get to take the appropriate action. Action. Any change to improve our nature. I don't know about you guys, but while I was drinking and drugging from the age of 15 to the age of 44, I didn't grow up. I did not learn life skills. I didn't learn how to cope. I didn't learn how to work through situations with people. I lied, I ran, I cheated, I stole. And the whole time I was fearful. I was afraid of everything. Even though I played lots of sports, it's pretty good in lots of sports, I was still afraid. I didn't even know I was afraid. I was talking with somebody earlier, you know, we were talking about fear. Here's another cool acronym. False evidence appearing real. Fear. Fear is not from God. God doesn't deal in a currency of fear. False evidence appearing real. Yes, feelings are real, but it doesn't mean that they're true. I have all kinds of feelings all the time. Does that mean they're based in fact? No. Especially with my head. So we get down to steps 6 and 7. And we ask God to humbly remove our shortcomings, our character defects, our sins. Call them what you will. They're all the same. And we all have them. What's the big deal? We ask God, we've cleaned our house now, and we ask Him to take away those shortcomings. And then we get into a rigorous action again with step 8. We make the list. Get completely ready to make amends. Because real sobriety starts when I start making amends. You know, I'll tell you a little story. I was sitting one day with my kids, my mom's house, watching a videotape of their 45th wedding anniversary. And my older brother got a guy to videotape that function. There was 200 plus people there. And I thought it was going to be really cool to watch this, because my recollection of this was that I was really hip, slick, and cool. I was the MC. I had it all going on. And I couldn't wait to watch it with my kids, my mom, and whoever else was there. After about 5 minutes of watching me, I was physically ill. I made me sick. Watching me on video with the drink in my hand everywhere I went and the microphone in the other hand being completely selfish and obnoxious. That was not my recollection of that night. I literally thought I was so cool. As a matter of fact, after that thing ended, I went up to the videotape guy, the guy who puts that on and does those as a production, and I said, you know, dude, you know, whatever his name was, I said, if you want to do these events and you have more events, like, I'd be happy to come along and do the microphone stuff. I can't imagine what was going through his mind. I was dead serious. What a nightmare. I said to everybody in that room, do you mind if I turn this off? I can't watch it. That's who I was. And that is not who I am. But that's not who I thought I was. I thought I was somebody else. The truth will set you free. God said, I am the truth, and I am the way, and I am the life. Come to me and I'll set you free. That's what the 12 steps do. So you do step 8, you make the list, which probably is going to be comprised of your 4-step list, and you move into step 9. And it's highly recommended that before you start making amends, like I was ready to run out and start throwing up all over people with I'm sorry's. There were 2 things that I did consistently through my alcoholism and through my life even before I drank. I would lie, cheat, and steal, and when I got caught, I would say, I'm sorry. I had no intention of changing anything. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So what? Are you willing to do something different? I wasn't. I just wanted the heat off so I could get back to being selfish and do what I wanted to do and get more of what I wanted. And it never was enough. So the manipulation and the lying and the cheating went on. And then I wonder why people were upset with me, because I'm a people pleaser. I want everybody to like me while I'm ripping you off. So we start making amends. Amends means to change. It means to turn around and go the other direction. When I said I'm sorry, I had no intention of doing that. Words are really cheap. Really cheap. Even my sales has changed since I got sober. I don't even manipulate and lie to my customers anymore. Because you know what? It's not about the result. It's about doing the right thing. It's about doing the right thing and letting God deliver the result. I never lived that way. Even though I knew who God was, I never surrendered to Him. I didn't know I was powerless. That's why I manipulated everything. We're not in the result business, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the sober business of doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time. God will take care of the rest. So we start making amends and we change. And 10, when we have a problem, we promptly admit it. I don't know about you, but I never promptly admitted anything. I rarely admitted I was ever wrong. How about you guys? Did you promptly admit you were wrong before you got sober? I mean, I frequently don't do it now, but it doesn't take me very long to get really, really irritable with myself. I can't stand me when I'm not doing the steps. Anybody experience that? Can't stand me. I much prefer the sober Roger, the principled Roger, the surrendered Roger. With God running the show, I'm just there to do the right thing. That's why I come and speak at Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, there's no other fellowship in the world like Alcoholics Anonymous. Everybody should do the 12 steps. Even if they don't have an addiction, they would be a better person. Think about it. What's so weird about the 12 steps? It's good stuff. Why do we circle jerk all this stuff around in our heads and make it so difficult? Why don't we just do it? I've never regretted doing the steps, but I had to do them to get to the other side to learn what the lesson was. I never learned anything my whole life. Because guess what? I didn't do anything. I just ran, lied, cheated, stole, manipulated, whatever. So how did I didn't go through life and learn an experience. I didn't do it. Now I love doing it. Well, I don't always love doing it. Sometimes it's painful. Look, we're feel-good junkies, right? We want to feel good 24/7, 365 days. But your question becomes, in the definition of what does it mean to feel good? Does it mean to physically feel good? Or does it mean to have peace in your heart? You see, we're made up of three pieces, right? We got the physical body, we got the mental part, and we got a spirit and a soul. The soul's where our emotions are. That's where our conscience is. The spirit's what lives when our body dies. This is a spiritual program because we suffer from a spiritual illness, and the steps lead us to spiritual freedom. If you do the 12 steps, you get to live on a spiritual plane. So when calamity arrives, or illness, or disease, or chaos, or crisis, or whatever, and you don't understand what's going on, it's okay. It's just life. But here's the deal. There's a lesson in everything that happens to us. And the question is, are we going to learn the lesson, or are we doomed to repeat the same old behavior over and over and over again? I wonder why we don't learn anything. The steps are a simple program to take us to a place where we learn what God's will is for us in our life. That's why we're a fellowship. What's it say in tradition 2? It says we have one ultimate authority, a loving God. What's our primary purpose in Alcoholics Anonymous? To stay sober to help another person. We're the only ones that can talk to another alcoholic or addict. Are you going to listen to someone who doesn't drink or drug like you? That doesn't have and hasn't had the experience that you had? No. What did Bob and Bill find out in Akron, Ohio? They found out that those two guys, when they met, which was totally a God-directed thing. I mean, Bill's from New York. Dr. Bob's a proctologist in Akron, Ohio. Right? Bill arrives at the Mayflower Hotel with no place to go. And through a series of phone calls, he ends up meeting Dr. Bob through a chance meeting. And the rest is history some 75 years later. That's God-directed deal. Two alcoholics talking to one another. You know, I'd like to read to you something. You know who alcoholic number 3 is? Anybody know? It's in the big book. Alcoholic number 3?
Bill D.
Bill D. Exactly right. You know who Bill D is? Bill D is the guy in the hospital bed where you see the picture. We don't have one in here, but in many alcoholic halls or AA rooms, you'll see the guy lying in the hospital bed with the two guys sitting next to him. Well, the two guys are Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob in Akron, Ohio, Towns Hospital, or Akron City Hospital, one or the other. And the guy in the bed is Bill Dotson, Bill D. A hopeless lawyer, drunk from Cleveland, I think, or Cincinnati, I don't remember. And he couldn't get sober. But they kept coming back and seeing him. They kept telling him about their stories. And in the big book on page 191, I just want to read you something. So Bill Wilson comes over to Bill Dodson's house. Bill Dodson's wife's name is Henrietta. Henrietta D., right? So it says, I knew there was even more. This is Bill Dodson speaking. Something that I hadn't got. And I remember one day, a week or two after I'd come out of the hospital, Bill was at my house, Bill Wilson, talking to my wife and me. We were eating lunch and I was listening and trying to find out why they had this release that they seemed to have, meaning Bill and Bob. Bill looked across at my wife and said to her, quote, Henrietta, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to keep talking about it and telling people. Bill Dodson said, I think I have the answer. Bill was very, very grateful that he'd been released from this terrible thing, and he'd given God the credit for having done it. And he's so grateful about it, he wants to tell other people about it. That sentence, quote, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease that I just want to keep telling people about it, unquote, has been a sort of golden text for the AA program and for me. That's what Bill Dodson said, alcoholic number three. The 12 steps in the big book hadn't even been written yet. You know what the book was in the picture where Bill and Bob were talking to Bill D? It was the Bible. That's all they had in Akron, Ohio for 4 years. Started June 10th, 1935. The big book came out April of 1939. 4 years. You know what the recorded sobriety, documented sobriety rate was in Akron, Ohio for 4 years? 75%. And when they asked Dr. Bob what was going on, he said basically the essence of the program and what we did in Akron could be found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, which is a chapter on love that they read every day, and the book of James. That's what they used as the cornerstone and the essence of the program. And that was what part of the, really the essence that came into the big book, which came out in 1939. So Clarence Snyder, who was one of Dr. Bob's sponsees in Akron, who was from Cleveland, when the big book came out, he took the Bible and what he learned from in Akron, Ohio, and he took the big book and he went to Cleveland. In the first year in Cleveland, 30 groups popped up and there were 260 people using the big book and the Bible and the 12 steps. Do you know what the recorded documented sobriety rate was in Cleveland for the first 260 people? 93%. 93%. Somehow we've lost the essence of what was going on in Akron and Cleveland because we're not realizing that kind of success right now. We need to just get back to the roots. But the steps are the same. So, step 10, that's when we promptly admit we don't get resentments. I've got about 2 minutes. So, the beauty of this is that step 11 and 12 is where we actually surrender ourselves to God, and through prayer and meditation, we seek His will. We ask Him to provide us with the power. And guess what? What does it say? As a result of these steps, we have a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience. A lot of people describe that as you hear a pop. I get that now. I never got it before. What are you talking about, a pop? Well, I understand that when I realize that I'm the problem and that I don't have control over results and that I'm powerless over people, places, and things, but God has all power and He wants me to have a life of sobriety so that I can be available to Him to help another person. It doesn't get any simpler than that. And I'll tell you something else. It's been my experience. I'll celebrate 15 years, December 12th. It's been my experience that when I'm with you, or when I'm thinking about you, or when I'm praying for you, they're the best moments of my life today. When I'm hanging with you and not thinking about me, I'm asking God to give me peace and power, and I'm working with you or thinking about you or praying for you, I am absolutely serene. When I'm not, it doesn't take much for me to get restless, irritable, and discontented. Anybody relate to that? This is amazing fellowship. You'll never regret the... regret? You'll never regret the 12 steps. You got a little Elmer Fuddish there for a moment. You'll never regret the 12 steps if you do them. And then you get into action of working with other people, and you'll find a life that you've never could imagine. That's the story of everybody from Dr. Bob, Bill Wilson, Bill Dotson, on up until including today. I am eternally grateful for the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, for my God, who I learned who he was and have a relationship with him today as a direct result of the 12 steps. I pray you guys have a marvelous Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever your holiday may be. And God bless you. Thanks.